All right, we are starting Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, called The Writing on the Wall. What's going on here? What's going on? Attracted, no doubt, by Malfoy's shout, Argus Filch came shuddering his way through the crowd. Then he saw Mrs. Norris and fell back, clutching his face in horror. My cat! My cat! What's happened to Miss Norris, Mrs. Norris?
Oh my gosh, you would totally be like him.
Well, I wouldn't have a nasty, mean cat, though.
You might.
No, my kittens are adorable and nice.
What if your life had been, like, nasty and mean, you were Squib, and I could see you being nasty and mean, because you're kind of a, like, old man already.
I'm not an old man. I wouldn't be nasty and mean to anyone ever. I'm a nice guy. You know that. Anyways, and his popping eyes fell on Harry. You, he shrieked. You've murdered my cat. You've killed her. I'll kill you all. Argus. Dumbledore had arrived on the scene, followed by a number of other teachers. In seconds, he had swept past Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and detached Mrs. Norris from the torch bracket. Come with me, Argus, he said to Filch. You too, Mr. Potter, Mr. Weasley, Miss Granger.
How did she get there?
I thought Ginny put her up there.
Ginny?
Didn't she? I haven't read this in a long time. Isn't that what happened?
Well, Ginny does most of the things, but I don't remember her doing the cat.
Who else would have done it?
I don't know.
Wasn't she the lackey?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out if they say it or not. Lockhart stepped forward eagerly. My office is nearest, Headmaster, just upstairs. Please feel free. Thank you, Gilderoy, said Dumbledore. The silent crowd parted to let them pass. Lockhart, looking excited and important, hurried after Dumbledore. So did Professors McGonagall and Snape. As they entered Lockhart's darkened office, there was a flurry of movement along the walls. Harry saw several of the Lockharts in the pictures dodging out of sight, their hair in rollers. The real Lockhart lit the candles on his desk and stood back. Dumbledore laid Mrs. Norris on the polished surface and began to examine her. Harry, Ron, and Hermione exchanged tense looks and sank into chairs outside the pool of candlelight, watching. The tip of Dumbledore's long, crooked nose was barely an inch from Mrs. Norris's fur. He was looking at her closely through his half-moon spectacles, his long fingers gently prodding and poking. Professor McGonagall was bent almost as close, her eyes narrowed. Snape loomed behind them, half in shadow, wearing a most peculiar expression. It was as though he was trying hard not to smile. And Lockhart was hovering around all of them, making suggestions. It was definitely a curse that killed her. Probably the transmogrify and torture. I've seen it used many times. So unlucky I wasn't there. I know the very counter curse that would have saved her. Lockhart's comments were punctuated by Filch's dry, racking sobs. He was slumped in a chair by the desk, unable to look at Mrs. Norris, his face in his hands. Much as he detested Filch, Harry couldn't help feeling a bit sorry for him, though not nearly as sorry as he felt for himself. If Dumbledore believed Filch, he would be expelled for sure. Harry's always thinking he's going to be expelled, even in a case like this where it's obvious he didn't do it, right? Like, there are so many reasons that he wouldn't have done it. He has no motive, he had no means, and if he had done it, why would he be right there on the scene of the crime when everyone came to find it out?
Yeah.
Dumbledore was now muttering strange words under his breath and tapping Mrs. Norris with his wand, but nothing happened. She continued to look as though she had been recently stuffed. I remember something very similar happening in Ouagadougou, said Lockhart. A series of attacks. The full story's in my autobiography. I was able to provide the townsfolk with various amulets, which cleared up the matter at once. The photographs of Lockhart on the wall were all nodding in agreement as he talked. One of them had forgotten to remove his hairnet. At last, Dumbledore straightened up. "She's not dead, Argus," he said softly. Lockhart stopped abruptly in the middle of counting the number of murders he had prevented. "Not dead," choked Filch, looking through his fingers at Mrs. Norris. "But why is she all stiff and frozen?" "She has been petrified," said Dumbledore. "Ah, I thought so," said Lockhart. "But how, I cannot say," Dumbledore continued. "Ask him," shrieked Filch, turning his blotched and tear-stained face to Harry. "No second year could have done this," said Dumbledore firmly. "It would take dark magic of the most advanced." He did it, Filch spat, his pouchy face purpling. "You saw what he wrote on the wall. He found in my office. He knows I'm a... Filch's face worked horribly. "He knows I'm a squib," he finished. "I never touched Mrs. Norris," Harry said loudly, uncomfortably aware of everyone looking at him, including all the Lockharts on the walls. "And I don't even know what a squib is." "Rubbish," snarled Filch. "He saw my quickspell letter." "If I might speak, Headmaster," said Snape from the shadows, and Harry's sense of foreboding increased. He was sure nothing Snape had to say was going to do him any good. "Potter and his friends may have simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time," he said, a slight sneer curling his mouth as though he doubted it. "But here we do have a set of suspicious circumstances. Why was he in the upstairs corridor at all? Why wasn't he at the Halloween feast?" Harry, Ron, and Hermione all launched into an explanation of the Death Day party. "There were hundreds of guests. They'll tell you we were there." "But why not join the feast afterward?" said Snape, his black eyes glittering in the candlelight. "Why go up that corridor?" Ron and Hermione looked at Harry. Because, Harry said, his heart thumping very fast. Something told him it would sound very far-fetched if he told them he had been led there by a bodiless voice no one but he could hear. "Because we were very tired and wanted to go to bed." "Without any supper?" said Snape, a triumphant smile flickering across his gaunt face. "I didn't think ghosts provided food fit for living people at their parties." "We weren't hungry," said Ron loudly as his stomach gave a huge rumble. Snape's nasty smile widened. "I suggest, Headmaster, that Potter is not being entirely truthful," he said. "It might be a good idea if he were deprived of certain privileges until he's ready to tell us the whole story. I personally feel he should be taken off the Gryffindor Quidditch team until he is ready to be honest." "Really, Severus," said Professor McGonagall sharply. "I see no reason to stop the boy playing Quidditch. This cat wasn't hit over the head with a broomstick. There's no evidence at all that Potter's done anything wrong." Dumbledore was giving Harry a searching look. His twinkling, light blue gaze made Harry feel as though he were being X-rayed. "Innocent until proven guilty, Severus," he said firmly. Snape looked furious. So did Filch. "My cat has been petrified," he shrieked, his eyes popping. "I want to see some punishment." "We will be able to cure her, Argus," said Dumbledore patiently. "Professor Sprout recently managed to procure some mandrakes. As soon as they have reached their full size, I will have a potion made that will revive Mrs. Norris." "I'll make it," Lockhart butted in. "I must have done it 100 times. I could whip up a mandrake restorative draught in my sleep." "Excuse me," said Snape icily, "but I believe I am the potions master at this school." There was a very awkward pause. "You may go," Dumbledore said to Harry, Ron, and Hermione. They went, as quickly as they could, without actually running. When they were a floor up from Lockhart's office, they turned into an empty classroom and closed the door quietly behind them. Harry squinted at his friends' darkened faces. "Do you think I should have told them about that voice I heard?" "No," said Ron, without hesitation. "Hearing voices no one else can hear isn't a good sign, even in the wizarding world." Something in Ron's voice made Harry ask, "You do believe me, don't you?" "Of course I do," said Ron quickly, "but you must admit it's weird." I know it's weird, said Harry. The whole thing's weird. What was that writing on the wall about? The chamber has been opened? What's that supposed to mean? You know, it sort of rings a bell, said Ron slowly. I think someone told me a story about a secret chamber at Hogwarts once. Must have been Bill. And what on earth is a squib, said Harry. To his surprise, Ron stifled a snicker. Well, it's not funny, really, but as it's filch, he said. A squib is someone who's born into a wizarding family but hasn't got any magic powers. Kind of the opposite of muggle-born wizards, but squibs are quite unusual. If Filch is trying to learn magic from a quick spell course, I reckon he must be a squib. It would explain a lot, like why he hates students so much. Ron gave a satisfied smile. He's bitter. A clock chimed somewhere. Midnight, said Harry. We better try to get to bed before Snape comes along and tries to frame us for something else. For a few days, the school could talk of little else but the attack on Mrs. Norris. Filch kept it fresh in everyone's mind by pacing the spot where she had been attacked, as though he thought the attacker might come back. Harry had seen him scrubbing the message on the wall with Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover, but to no effect. The words still gleamed as brightly as ever on the stone. When Filch wasn't guarding the scene of the crime, he was skulking red-eyed through the corridors, lunging out at unsuspecting students and trying to put them in detention for things like breathing loudly and looking happy. Ginny Weasley seemed very disturbed by Mrs. Norris's fate. According to Ron, she was a great cat lover. But you really haven't got to know Mrs. Norris, Ron told her bracingly. Honestly, we're very much better off without her. Ginny's lip trembled. Stuff like this doesn't often happen at Hogwarts, Ron assured her. They'll catch the maniac who did it and have him out of here in no time. I just hope he's got time to petrify Filch before he's expelled. I'm only joking, Ron added hastily, as Ginny blanched. The attack also had an effect on Hermione. It was quite unusual for Hermione to spend a lot of time reading, but now she was doing almost nothing else. Nor could Harry and Ron get much response from her when they asked what she was up to, and not until the following Wednesday did they find out. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, my kitten boo. And have a good night's sleep, and sleep in tomorrow, because you don't have anything to do, and you've earned it. And you need to get some more sleep. I love you so much, kitty boo. Oh, you're still awake?
Yeah.
Oh, good night, beautiful.
Night.
I love you.
Me too.
Good night.